All right, church, grab your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is where we're going to be hanging out today. I'm going to start off with a story that you guys are probably all familiar with. In 1865, this guy by the name of Lewis Carroll published a children's classic fiction called Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. We kind of know it as Alice in Wonderland. You guys familiar with the story? Okay. People over there, they didn't want to admit that they were. You guys are a little bit more awake this morning, I suppose. Alice in Wonderland. Most of us have some familiarity with the story. It's a girl falls in a rabbit hole. She comes in this make-believe world, and she meets all these kind of, on this journey, she meets all the kind of weird characters. She meets like the Mad Hatter. We know that. Some of these are rides at Disney World, right? She meets the King and Queen of Hearts. She meets this Cheshire Cat. And the cool thing about this story is that even though it's this nonsensical, in fact, some people label this as nonsense fiction. Okay? And it doesn't make sense. It's just like this crazy journey. But in the midst of it, these kind of quotable quotes that kind of make sense. And one of those things today is very deeply theological and gets us into John chapter 14 today. It's a conversation she has with this cat, the Cheshire Cat. She's trying to figure out which way to go. And so she asked the cat, "Which way should I go?" And the cat says, "Well, that depends. Where are you going?" And she says to the cat, "I don't know." And the cat replies with some deep theology, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." And the reason I'm quoting this morning is because this is really relevant for all of us in here today. If you don't know where you're going, then any old path will do. It doesn't matter. Just take whatever path you want, and you'll get to nowhere. You'll get to the place you don't know. But if you have a desire to go somewhere, then the path is important. See, I think most people in our culture, maybe many of us in here today, by the way, if you're visiting, you came last week for Easter and you're back again, we're so glad you're here, and I'm glad you get to hang out with us in the Word again and kind of figure out what's going on as we follow paths. But I think most people in our culture, most of this culture, many of us in here today, we have no idea where we're going with our lives. No idea. We just get up every day and we just walk down this path to who knows where. We're like a little lost English girl in a fiction novel. All right? And the last several weeks, we've been studying these I am statements of Jesus Christ. Right? Today, we're going to find some direction. We're going to find a path. We're going to find a way through Jesus Christ. And I love this series because he's able to describe for us, here's who I am. And we get to learn from that. So today, we're going to learn something new. This is number 6. All right? Y'all ready? All right. Just don't be flipping with the Word of God. Y'all ready? Here we go. All right, John 14. By the way, I've got a cocktail of over-the-counter medication going on right now, so you guys are kind of blurry, but don't worry. It's fine. I'm a professional. Here we go, John 14, 1. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it." Let's pray and ask the Father to speak to us now by his Spirit. Father God, there is a power that is greater than anything we know. It's the power of your Spirit. Nothing happens without the power of the Holy Spirit. Lives don't change. Mountains don't move. Churches don't grow. But God, in this place right now, we expect you to do miracles in our hearts, in our lives, and we need your Holy Spirit to do it. My preaching will not do that, but your Holy Spirit can. And so, Lord, we're committed now to lifting up your holy word, the Bible, that records for us the living word, Jesus Christ, and who he is. And I pray, Father, as we lift Jesus up, that you will draw men to you, men and women, by faith. So, God, that's a tall order, but I know you can do it. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, for the last 3 years, you guys have to picture this, get this picture in your mind. John spends a really long time in the book of John the Apostle, starting in chapter 13, a long time talking about all the stuff that Jesus said at the last meal. We call it the Last Supper. We've already celebrated here this morning. It is the Passover feast. It's like our Thanksgiving. It's the greatest feast of the whole year for the Jewish people. They come and they celebrate the Passover. And so Jesus is hanging now with his 12. They're probably feeling pretty special because they're the chosen ones. They are disciples. From the very word go, he said to them, follow me, follow me. And you know what they've done for 3 years? They've followed him everywhere he's gone, everything he's done. They've seen it. They've witnessed it. And now, in the middle of this really happy, joyous occasion, he looks at them and says, I got to tell you guys some stuff. Number one, I got to tell you this. One of you is going to stop following me. In fact, you're going to stop following me so much you're going to betray me. You're going to hand me over to the authorities. And he goes, and here's another thing I need to share with you. I'm going somewhere. I'm leaving. And bad news number three is you can't come. You might wonder why Jesus starts off chapter 14 in the middle of this speech to the disciples going, don't let your hearts be troubled. But here's the reason. Their hearts are troubled. They're freaked out. And that's the literal Greek translation. Freakus outus. No, I'm just kidding. They're freaked out. They're a mess. Because the one that they've banked their lives on, the one who's the promised Messiah that they've followed for 3 years, they've put their whole life into, he's going, now I'm going away, and you can't come, you can't follow, and one of you is going to betray me. He just told Peter in the end of 13, you're going to deny you even know me. So, bummer for the holiday meal. But Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. In verse 6, he's going to say, here's why you shouldn't be troubled by what I'm telling you. But first, I want us to examine, just because we're here, 21st century America, I want to bring this text into our lives and go, hey, what do troubled hearts look like? What kind of questions and observations do troubled hearts look like? And we get this because the apostles are having conversation with Jesus, specifically Thomas and Philip, and we get to eavesdrop. And Thomas has this really, really incredible question. How can we know the way? How do we know the way? I don't know which way to go. How can we know that I'm on the right path? That's the question. Peter already asked in chapter 13 and 36, if you want to jump up there and just kind of or maybe glance across your page there, 13:36, Peter says, where are you going? I'll go anywhere with you. Jesus says, no, you can't come. Well, how can we know the way? And I want to remind you that they're understanding Jesus' kingdom in an earthly sense. They're seeing through earthly eyes. In their minds, in their Jewish minds, they were looking for a king to come and overthrow the Roman government and reestablish the power in Jerusalem. And they were going to be his right-hand and left-hand guys and the ones who were fighting for him. And they're going, wait a minute, this is not making sense. What do you mean you're going to go away? You can go up in the mountains like some other leaders have and just kind of get your troops together and then storm the gates? Are you going away because you're scared? You're going to flee to some desert like some other false messiahs have in the past? Where are you going? See, they're thinking a road. They're thinking a path. That's what this word means. The word means road or path. Which way are you going? We don't know the way. How can we know the way? Either way, their earthly perspective keeps them from seeing what he's saying spiritually to them. And we'll get to more about the spiritual meaning in just a moment. But first, I want to ask this question for us. Okay? Because I think all of us in here are looking for a way, if not the way. What way should I be? What path should I take? This is the directional question that has to do with this verse. I want you to see where it happens. I mean, he says, you know the way, you know the road. Literally, hadas is the word. You know the road where I'm going. Verse 5, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know the road. How can we know the road? Jesus says, I am the road. We'll get to that in just a moment. I believe that like the apostles who thought of Jesus earthly in ministry terms, many of us in here are following different paths and we have no idea what path we're on. But I believe this, that everybody in here, no matter who you are, you're on a path today. You're walking in some direction. And so let's just consider that for just a moment. Some of us are walking the Frank Sinatra path. That's the do it my way path. Let's do whatever I want, right? And you hear it in phrases in our culture, phrases like follow your nose. And we go, follow your nose, what, you just follow what, it smells good? It's saying instinctively you'll know the way for you. Just do what you think, follow your nose. We got this other phrase, follow your dreams. What's that dream in your heart? What do you just hope will happen? You're dreaming about, follow that dream. And it's a path some people are on. Some it says follow your heart. You follow your nose, you follow your dreams, you follow your heart. Whatever emotion's going on, that's right for you. You follow it. Some of us in here today are on that path. Many people in the world are on that path. But you need to be careful with this path because Proverbs. Thanks, I'm better. That was a Sudafed, I'm sure. Unless somebody's got an interpretation. I don't think that was the Holy Spirit. Okay, all right. Okay. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, its way is death. This is such a cool proverb that the proverb writer repeats it in Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You need to make sure that the path, you're following your nose, following your heart, following your dreams, that it's not leading somewhere you don't want to go. There's another path that a lot of people in here follow. It's the follow the leader path, that old game we played when we were little kids. They probably don't play it anymore unless it's virtual follow the leader. But follow the leader. It's really simple. You pick a leader and everybody follows that person. Wherever they go, whatever they do, you follow them. It's a simple game we used to play back in the 1900s. But unfortunately, it's the way that some people live their lives. It's the path that many of us here are on today. You just follow whatever's going on, whatever's popular. You know, back in the olden days, my parents asked me this question. Maybe some of you older ones, they ask this. I don't know if parents still use this line. Hey, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you? You know what the answer is, right? Yes. I certainly would. Because that's what we do in this world. Many of us are just so influenced by the crowd and the people around us that we would do anything to fit in. By the way, have you ever wondered why people in the 60s wear bell bottoms? Why? Because everybody was. Why did we have mullets in the 80s? Because they were cool. Because everybody had mullets. By the way, you young people in here, if you don't think in 30 years your kids are going to look back at your man bun and your tight jeans and your beard, they're just going to, whoa. Trust me, it's coming. Oh, we thought we were cool in the 80s too. It's coming. They will make fun of you, and then that's the way life goes, right? But many of us are on follow the leader path. We dress alike. We listen to the same music. We buy the same stuff. In fact, I would say that all advertising in America is geared to say, hey, everybody else has it. You need this. Let's follow the same path. Okay? Yeah, iPhone. Not even to mention iPhone, right? There's another path. Some of us are on the work hard path. We've been told from an early age you work harder. You just work hard at your career, your hobby, your job, your education. If you work harder, you will succeed, and we're on the path of just working harder, getting the next achievement, the next goal, the next accomplishment. Here's the sad thing, and we got some people in here 70, 80 years old that will tell you, when you get to the end of that one, what? Where's this path going? All right? There's another one, save the world path. Some people in this world are on the save the world path. It's a cause. You find a cause that you're interested in, and you pour all your energies into this path. Save the whales, save the turtles, save a butterfly in the Amazon, stop pollution, world peace, coexist, right? Everybody has a cause. Just look at the bumper stickers, right? I love the bumper sticker I see around here from time to time. I've actually seen this in town. Trees are the answer, which makes me always want to go, what's the question? Where do you find apples? Yes, trees are the answer for that. I don't think they're saying trees are the answer to life and to the world, but maybe. The question is, what path are you on? By the way, on this path that is the cause, save the world path, we can even do this in Christianity. Did you know that? We can get so wrapped up in a Christian cause that we take Jesus completely out of the picture. We can get so excited about feeding orphans or rescuing orphans or whatever thing we want to march for, or protest for, or wave flags for, or post for. And what I love about one of the things that we're committed to here at Eastview Christian Church is that we do international partners and we do the things the world wants us to do. We rescue and feed orphans all over the world. We provide education for kids from slums. We clothe them and we dig wells for clean drinking water. We give them medical care. But we do it all in the name of Jesus. It's never about that. It's about Jesus' love compels us to do that. Amen? All right. And what's cool, I want to encourage you with this. The Serve Project is coming up at the end of this month, and we're going to do that in our town. We're going to paint. We're going to work. We're going to love. We're going to be around people who need the love of the Lord. We're doing all this service because we've been ridiculously loved, and we want to do the same thing. All right? You saw that video. I want you guys to hopefully get participating in that. All right? Well, here's the question. What path are you on today? What path are you on today? It's a very important question. You don't have to, there's no right answers. Just what path are you on? Hold that in mind because we're going to talk about now where the path ends. That brings us to Philip. It's interesting in verse 8 that Philip should make this request. Philip said to the Lord, "Lord, show us the Father." It's interesting because Philip in his life, what little we know about him, Philip was a shower of Jesus. Did you know that? Sometimes he's called Philip the bringer. And what little we know, it seems like he was constantly bringing people to Jesus. In chapter 1 of John, verse 43, he brings Nathanael, who becomes a future apostle to Jesus. He just introduced him to Jesus, right? Later in John 12, some Greeks are around in the temple. They're going, "We would see Jesus." And he goes, "Hey, I'll take you to Jesus. This is simple. This is not the sermon. Simple evangelism is, hey, come see Jesus." And sometimes that's easiest. Just come to my small group. Come to my church. Come see Jesus, and then you'll get it. But they've been following Jesus because they thought him to be the promised Messiah. Again, they're seeing Philip seeing this through world eyes. Jesus, you are the one that God promised 700 years ago through the prophet Isaiah that you would come and deliver your people, set up a kingdom, and restore the nation of Israel. You're the one. That means you were sent by God, and you've said that you have connections to God. We've seen some pretty cool miracles, but we've not seen God. If you're going to go away, can we get just a peek? Can we see God? It's not a weird request. Moses did the same thing in the Old Testament. Hey, God, I just want to see you. Okay? And he articulates this deep down troubled heart desire that I believe all of us have. Everybody in here, here's what I believe, that you want to see God. You want to know God. You want to experience God. You want to experience the eternal. All of us long about it. You've heard me say this before. Atheists don't believe in God. I don't believe in atheists. Okay? I just don't. Because I believe, first of all, we're made in the image of God. There's something in us that goes, I want to see the big thing that made me like this. I want to see the thing that's greater than me. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has put eternity in the hearts of man. There's something eternal, and we all know, we all kind of know this isn't it. And we long for God, and we want to see God. Like Philip, we're going, hey, show us the Father. Just show us God. Show us who he is. And I believe that that's played out all through history. If you go back to the ancient Romans and the Greek, their mythology, what is that about? It's about wanting to know God. I don't know how I reach God, so I make up a God of the sea, and I'll make a God of war, I'll make a God of wine, I'll make a God of a romance. We got all these gods and goddesses. Why are they doing that? Because they know it's not just them. It's something greater. There's something out there. Even today, if you go to any place in the world and you go into the wildest country and the most outback you can find, you'll find a tribe. And if you find that tribe, I promise you, they will have religious customs and they will worship something greater than them. Many of them just the creation. By the way, one of the things that marks a culture, there are seven elements of culture. One of those elements is religion. Why is that? Because even people that don't know try to make up some kind of God. We live in a culture and a world where billions of people worldwide, worship these organized religions of Hinduism and Buddhism and Muslim and Jewish and Christian. They're all quests for God or gods or nirvana or enlightenment. But there's something out there. I want to see it. I want to know it. Some of us, our religion is syncretism. Syncretism, you take a combination of a bunch of beliefs and you smash them all together. It's like creating your own pizza, but it's just God. So you take your Catholicism upbringing, you take what you've learned now, something you read in the Bible, something your uncle used to say about God, and you just kind of make it all up. And many people, that's their spirituality. There's two things. We'll get to this second one here in just a moment. Every path can't lead to God. Let's just say this, okay? I want you young people in here to hear this. Every path cannot lead to God because they are diametrically opposed to one another. There's so much opposition in every world belief system, okay? They can't all lead to the same God. Okay, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But here's what I would also say to anybody in here. You should examine whatever God system you think you want to follow. You better make sure this is not, I'll take a chance, roll the dice on, maybe see God. You should think this out, okay? So here's the deal. This is why there's a misunderstanding on which way to go and how to get to God. It leads to troubled hearts, and maybe some of you here today are troubled hearts because you go, I don't know what path I'm on, and I don't know where this path is going. And you're like Thomas, and you're like Philip. Well, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ in here today, then you need to figure out the path that you're going to take. Don't be like Yogi Berra. He's a famous baseball player, but he's also famous for saying things that didn't make sense. Here's a quote. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. And many of us, some of us are going, what? That's cool. That's profound. He's saying it doesn't matter what path you take, but I'm saying, and what Jesus is saying, the path matters. If you want to see God and you want to do something better with your life, then the path matters. If you're here today and not a follower, I'm going to tell you who you should follow. And if you're a follower in here today, let me tell you this. Don't lose heart and don't stray off the path. Because here's the crazy thing to the world. We say to the world, oh, the only way is Jesus. The only way is Jesus. And then we follow the paths of the world. They're going, that's silly. Hey, stay on the path. If you believe what I'm getting ready to tell you, stay on the path because that's the way to the place you want to go. Which brings us to verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Where's the Father? He's in an eternal place. That's what the first two verses are talking about here. I don't want your hearts to be troubled because here's the deal. Believe in God, which you do. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. What's he saying there? By the way, we had a translation, the King James translation for 400 years. It was a great translation. They didn't have as many tools and archaeological stuff that we have at our disposal now. And they translated this, unfortunately, mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. So Christians for years are talking about, oh, my mansion's going to be here, and my mansion's going to be bigger than yours, and I'm not going to have a mansion. I'm going to be out the outhouse of your mansion or whatever. You know, we're making up stuff, right? I don't know if mansions have outhouses. I suppose they do. But anyway. Where was I at? Okay, I'm back. But it's not a mansion, okay? The word here is literally rooms. What we get the idea of a mansion from is that it's obviously a big house. In my Father's house are many rooms. In other words, if you're first century, there's a lot of one-room houses. If you get to the rich people, they got many rooms with courtyards. And even that's not the point. The point that he's making is that I'm going to take you to a place where my Father lives. The idea is not what kind of room or mansion we're going to get in eternity, but that we'll be with the Father in his house. This is the point, fellowship with God. We get to be with God. So if you want to think about heaven as you get to, you know, be on literal golden streets and you get to your mansion and you're already planning on what it's going to look like, that's fine. But you know what? It's not biblical. What's biblical is God's going to be there. And we get to hang out with him. So that's going to be a good deal. Whatever the house is, you're going to enjoy it because it's going to be in fellowship with God. And Jesus says, here's what he's saying. And there, here's the click from the worldly view to the spiritual eternal view. I'm going to this eternal place. I'm going to heaven. I'm leaving the earth. I'm going there to prepare this place for you. And when it's ready and when Father's ready, I'm coming back to get you so you can be with me forever. So that's what we long for, to be in eternity with God. And he makes this statement, which is not very popular in our culture. I've already kind of alluded to it. But he says, this eternal place is only reachable. The only path to this eternal place is me. No one, listen, this is not me. It's not Mike. This is Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me. I could bring a third grader up here and I say, hey, who comes to the Father except through Jesus? No one. I mean, let me just be really clear with that. Jesus is making sure you understand, if you are on a path that's not him today, I don't know where you're going, but you're not going to this eternal dwelling where God lives. That's what he says. And so he's saying, listen, remember, this is the context. The context of this discussion is, we don't know the way. And we want to see God. He's going, okay, you don't know the way, and you want to see God? Follow me. He's the only path. That's why we describe ourselves in our vision statement here at East View Christian Church as fearless church of Christ followers. Why? The best thing I can tell you about what we believe here at East View is that we follow Jesus. It's what we do. He's not here alive in sandals and, you know, and a robe now, but we follow him by what we understand historically, what's been written for us historically in the Word of God. We follow him. He's the only path to take. He's the only truth. I am the way. I am the truth. This is why we reject the claims and teachings of the world. Just let me say this categorically. Whatever the world thinks about anything, we disagree with it. Okay? And it's not because we're better than the world or we're smarter than the world or more holy than the world. It's because the person we call Savior and we're following says that.
That's right.
Right? And so here's the deal. The absolute truth is not even, you know, it's not even real anymore. You can't even define it anymore. Our culture, they vote on something, they post something, they retweet something, a million likes, and all of a sudden it's true. Okay? But that's not what Jesus says. Okay, every time I hear somebody, and I get this conversation a lot, you know, Pastor, times are changing, world's changing, times are different, and I always say, yeah, that's what's great about God never changing. The great thing about everybody else changing is that the path to God is the same way. He doesn't change. So if you got something that's new that wasn't true 40 years ago or 400 years ago, guess what? It's not true. Truth is truth. All right? So there's an absolute truth that we stand by. Here at Eastview, we're not going to flinch on the truth. The world around us continues to devalue human life. The world around us redefines marriage. The world around us perverts God's gift of sex. The world around us pursues material gain. The world around us tells us to overindulge in everything from food to alcohol to adrenaline to drugs. The world around us blatantly promotes selfishness and narcissism. We blatantly and adamantly reject all of that. Bless you. The point is that Jesus' teaching, whenever it comes into opposition from the world's teaching, we are going to follow the path of Jesus because I am the way, the truth, he says. It's the only truth, right? And he's the only life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to live, then there's only one way. You just need to follow me. I don't know if you guys have seen this advertised. I've seen this the last couple of weeks. I think it maybe starts tonight on National Geographic Channel. It's called The Story of God, and it's hosted by Morgan Freeman, which is ironic because he was God in that one movie. But The Story of God is basically he's going to travel the world. He's going to interview different people of different religions and talk about what we're talking about today. How do you get to God? What's your pursuit of God? How do we come up with what we believe in different places? They interviewed him in the USA Today this week, and here's what he said, and I believe this to be true. The consistent thread in any religion is the search, not the search, but the hope for life after death, for life everlasting. And that's true. And here we have Jesus, unlike any other world religious leader, saying, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And so if you're here today and you want life, Jesus is saying, I'm the way. And he proves it, what we talked about last week. The I am statement last week was, I am the resurrection and the life. And he proved it by saying, I have authority to lay down my life. I have the authority to take it back again. I'm in charge of death and life. And if that's true, then I'm banking on the path, the guy that raised from the dead. That's who I'm following. And that's who you should follow too. In other words, Philip, there's nothing more to see here. That's what he's saying to him in verses 8 and 11. Philip, you've been with me for 3 years. Have I been with you so long you still don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Philip. I'm the exact representation of God, as we're taught in another epistle. And here's the cool thing about Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and life. This kind of just kind of came together. I didn't make this up. Nobody wrote this, I don't think. But it's just like the Spirit to say, this is the same God of the Old Testament. What did God say in the Old Testament? I'm the way out of your sin and bondage. I'll get you out of Egypt. I'm the way. I'm the truth. Here's 10 commandments. You just follow those, and that's my law. You follow those things. Those are true. I'm the way out. That's the truth. and I'm going to get you to a promised land where you'll live. Right? That's what Jesus is saying. I'm the way. I'll get you out of your sin. I'm the truth. Just follow my ways, and I will get you to eternal life, the promised land. It's the same thing. God hasn't changed in thousands of years, and this only comes in Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through him. Listen, if you're here today and you're struggling with that, I know why you're struggling with that. Because you got a friend or an uncle or a brother or a sister or somebody that you met, or you know other people, because it's a small world now. We get to see lots of different people from different religions, and it just seems mean. It just seems unfair. It just seems not nice to say that Jesus is the only way, and I'm a Christian. Again, you're going to have to get over that because Jesus says it, right? It's not us. But here's the deal. Because of that, that compels me then to talk to these people, to love people, to include people, to accept people in a different way because they need to get on the path I'm on. And that's what we do with that. By the way, this is the most inclusive thing in the world, Christianity. Jesus says, I'm the only way, but he says, everybody come, get on the path. When y'all came in today, is anybody carded? Did you get carded when you came in? And we see a list of your past sins. They ask about your past, what you've done in your life. They ask you what race you were, what age you are. There's no discrimination here. You walked in the door. You know why? Because Jesus welcomes all people. But here's the cool thing about him. He says, get on this path. I didn't welcome you to stay the same. I welcome you to change and become what I want you to be. And that's what he's trying to do in us. So he's the only path. And this path begins with a faith journey. Look what it says there, verse 1. Believe in God, believe also in me. Down in verse 10, he says to Philip, do you not believe that I'm the Father? Verse 11, believe me that I'm in the Father. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Philip, you've seen a lot of works. You've seen a lot of miracles here. Do you think anybody but God would do these things? Believe, Philip. Have faith. If you're here today and you know how to get on the path begins with you believing that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And that he'll get you to the Father. And here's the cool thing, is that he's got work for us to do along the way as we walk this path. Do you know that? I love this challenge at the very end. If you believe in me, you'll also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will you do. People always freaked out about that. It's like, I'm going to do greater works than Jesus? Yeah. Because you get to share the gospel that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and that he also rises other people from the dead. Jesus didn't preach that gospel. Jesus preached, the King is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then he saved us from our sins and he rose from the dead. And now we get to carry on this message that he didn't proclaim. And he's going to give us the Holy Spirit. This next chapter, you'll see him saying, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to help you do this. And he also says, you can talk to me anytime you want. If you ask the Father anything in my name. Now, I know some of you guys have taken that scripture and you go, I ask stuff in Jesus' name and he doesn't do it. Well, James tells us sometimes you ask for the wrong things, you ask with wrong motives. You can pray about a new car, but he didn't care about your new car. Okay? You can pray for the Cubs to win this year, but he didn't care about the Cubs. Okay? Okay? He didn't care about the Cardinals either, brother. Okay? Okay, I love you, man. You know that. But I hate the Cardinals. Anyway, that's another story. Reds, if you're interested. We will lose every game this year, okay? The point is that God is not, you can ask God anything. He says that, right? Amen. Because we're children. He's the Father. He gets to decide whether we need the candy or not, right? But what you can ask in Jesus' name that he'll always bless is when you're doing work in his name. When you're doing, advancing the gospel, when you're on the path and you're asking him to do something for his kingdom and for his good, you ask in his name, he'll do it. And that's his promise. I'm leaving. You can't come with me, but I'll always be with you. And so we journey on this way, this truth, this life that leads us to God. This past week, my wife and son Caleb took a long road trip to get all of his stuff out to Arizona. And I'm sorry some of you didn't realize he was moving to Arizona, but he's moving to Arizona. He's going to be the college pastor out there. Man, it's a great move for him. We're excited for him, yes. I don't know if you're clapping because he's leaving or because you're happy for him. I don't know. Anyway. But anyway, they took this long road trip. Listen to this. 22 hours and 2 days driving. Okay? And in some ways, I'm glad I couldn't be on that trip. My business would not allow me to do that, right? But in some ways, I'm sad. Because I missed the journey. And I think the journey can either be this thing where you just go, I'm just going to grin and bear it and get to the end. Or you can enjoy the journey along the way and the conversations and the experiences and all the stuff you get to see and do. And I think being a Christian's like that. The path to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and life is not about just racing to heaven and getting past all this stuff. He's got living for us to do now. He's got work for us to do now. He's got blessings for us now. The path that leads to God through Jesus Christ is both the journey and the destination. It's all about walking with him. Which way should you go? Well, if you don't know where you want to go or where you want to end up, then it doesn't matter which way you go. But according to this teaching, if you want to end up with God, you go with Jesus. Let's pray. God, I pray now that you would just continue to move by your Spirit in our hearts. Help us, please, to be people who follow the path and stay on the path. I pray if there's anybody here, Lord, that has been intrigued by this path story today and this journey, that they'll talk to somebody, and that today could be the day by faith they get on the path called Jesus. And so, Lord, would you just do with your word what only you can do, all the music, all the prayers, all the communion, the offering, everything. I pray that this has glorified your name, and I pray that you would continue to move as we leave this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.